Rabina Rochabas of Avram, and in memory of Dr. Zatz's father, Olav Shalom, Chaim Alter ben Rabbi Yecheskel. The last two prokim in Rosh Hashanah deal with the halachas that are relevant to us on Yontav Shal Rosh Hashanah. The first two prokim are about different topics. Maybe we'll start from the Mishnah on Lamed Beis Amud Beis, where the Mishnah brings up an interesting shayla. The shayla comes up all the time. Let's say you're going to have a pidyon aben on the Yom Lamed Aleph, and you're going to have a bris on the Yom Hashmini, whatever, whenever you happen to have the bris. So you have an option of either having the bris in the morning, you're going to daven at the Hashkama Minyan at the 6 o'clock Minyan, you're going to have the bris at 7 o'clock, because Rizm Magdimim Lemitzis, that's one hider in performing mitzvahs is Rizm Magdimim Lemitzis, or you'll have the bris, you're not going to have so many people attend the bris or the Pidyon HaBen if it's going to be so early in the morning. If you have in the middle of the day, Kal V'chomer, no one's going to show up, everybody goes to work. But let's say you have it later in the evening this year, let's say now is about 7:30. People finish working 5:30, so they'll have the bris at the Pidyon HaBen 6:30, 7 o'clock before the Shkia. They'll have a hider of Berei Bram Hadras Melech. Each is a hider b'fnei atzma. To perform a mitzvah in public with a bigger crowd is a hider mitzvah Berei Bram Hadras Melech. That enhances that enriches the mitzvah, and Zviz Magdim mitzvah enhances the chshivas of the mitzvah. So which of the two takes precedence? So there's a contradiction in the Mishnah. On Lamed Beis, Amud Beis. That's how the Gemara interprets the Mishnah. There seems to be a contradiction in the Mishnah. The Gemara understood that not everybody comes to Shul on time. They're human beings. So they understand that by Musaf you're going to have a bigger crowd than by Shachar. So the Shaila is, when should we, on Rosh Hashanah, when we blow Shofar, and you blow Shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz after Malchus Zechonus and Shofar. So should we blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris, or should we choose to blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz by Musaf? The Gemara considers it a toss-up. How is it a toss-up if you don't say Malchus Zechonus HaShofar by Shachris? How is it a toss-up? Either it means that we'll say Shishteknish Geshim, you have to say in Musaf and not in Shachris. The word is, whenever you're holding by blowing shofar, so that's the Shmon Esrei that you say the Malchus Zechonus Shofar and the Chazaras HaShatz, and you blow the shofar in conjunction with the Chazaras HaShatz. So we have decided that we're going to blow a Musaf, so we have chosen Musaf to say the Malchus Zechonus Shofar and to combine the Tkiya Shofar with that Chazaras HaShatz. If we would, you can't choose Ma'ariv, that's out of the question, because Tkiya Shofar is only by Yom and not by Laila. So you only have the choice of, you have Shachris, Musaf, or Mincha. Mincha is in the afternoon. That's a violation of Zvizim Makdim Lemitzvah. That's how the Prima Godim says that if you wait to do the Bris Mila after Chatzais, that's a violation of Zvizim Makdim Lemitzvah. If you do the Bris, you daven. You got to daven first. Torah B'Shena Torah Torah Kodim. So every day you daven. So you daven at the 6 o'clock minyan, and you have the Bris at 7 o'clock. That's Zvizim Makdim Lemitzvah. You daven in the 7 o'clock minyan, you have the Bris at 8 o'clock. That's a little less Zvizim Makdim Lemitzvah. You daven 8 o'clock, you have the bris at 9 o'clock, that's a little less. But if you daven 6 o'clock and you have the bris at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that you're mevatel is Zvizim Makdim Lemitzvah. That's how the Prima Godim writes in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, that if you wait till after Chatzais, then you have violated Zvizim Makdim. Now, Gratz and Eretz Yisrael, it's not that uncommon that you're invited to come to a bris in the afternoon. So the Prima Godim writes that it's not really right. He writes it in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, where they quote the Tshuva of the Oruch. That's what they quote. The Oruch sent the tshuva to Rabbeinu Shloimai, to Rashi. Problem, historically, who, the Oruch lived in Rome, how did he know from Rashi? I don't know, Rashi quotes the Oruch a lot, but so someone, the Oruch, or someone with the same name as the Oruch, Abnosen from Rome, sent the tshuva to, that's quoted Lahalocha, that if you have a bris on Rosh Hashanah, when do you perform the bris? It says you do the bris right before Kiyah Shofar, like we say, Bar Bris Avram, Bakedas Yitzchak. So the Bris Milo is the Bris Avram, and Akedas Yitzchak, but Kiyah Shofar is Zechel Akedas Yitzchak. Zechel for the Ayel. Lama Toikim Bishofar Shal Ayel, the Gemara says, in order that our Kodesh Baruch Hu should remember the schus of Akedas Yitzchak. So the Prima Godim asks, Manishtana, why did he all of a sudden raise an issue when you do the Bris Milo? When do we always do the Bris Milo? When you have a bris in shul before Aleinu, The minig always was, you do the bris and shul before aleinu. So do on Rosh Hashanah also before aleinu. Well, why is there an issue all of a sudden? Why don't you do it the way you always do? Shteik v'shorach, you do it before aleinu. Aleinu l'shabech, we draw the contrast between the Umas Ha'olam and the Klal Yisrael. So we have a bris milah that distinguishes the Klal Yisrael from the Umas Ha'olam and our bodies. Then we say, aleinu l'shabech, shalom asan kegoy ha'aratzes, there's such a hevdel, not only psychological hevdel, but a hevdel mamash, a difference in the body also, physical hevdel also. So the Prima Gordon asks, what's the issue? So he says, it must be that they already had the minig like we have today, that we say long piyutim, and it takes the left of chatzoy, so you don't finish the... You're not going to say aleinu, aleinu in the chazor shashatz, you're going to say before, but we're not talking to have the bris in the middle of chazor shashatz before that aleinu. You're talking about having the bris before aleinu at the end of the whole davening. So that's probably going to be after Chatzos, like Bayah, so that's why they knew that's out of the question. You can't do the bris on Rosh Hashanah the same as the other 353 days of the year to wait till Aleinu. That'll be a violation of Ziz Magdin Mitzvahs to wait till after Chatzos. So that's why they had to move it up earlier, so that was a shaila. How much earlier when you do? Before Kriyas HaTorah, after Kriyas HaTorah, in the middle of Tkiya Shofar. So that's what he picked, right before Tkiya Shofar, after Kriyas HaTorah, right before. So here we're talking, they're both going to be before Chatzos. The Tkiya Shofar can either be, that's how the Mishnah says, the Tkiya Shofar can either be in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris, or in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz of Musaf. And the Mishnah says you do it in Musaf. Why do you do it in Musaf? So probably, the Gemara says, because they're going to be a full house, everybody's going to be there by Musaf. By Shachris is going to be half empty. And by Musaf is going to be Berei Vam Hadris Melech for the Hebrew. Rav Ram Hadas Melach takes precedence over the Hidur of Zriz Magdim Lemitzvah. That's how the Gemara says L'chore. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So just as background, so we raise the question, but what's going to be, but you don't say, how is Shachris an option? You don't say Malchus Ben Shofis. So the Pasha, the answer is that Malchus, it's not Halacha that you say Malchus Ben Shofis and Musaf. Musaf is the same as Shachris, Mincha and Meiriv. The answer is you say Malchus Ben Shofis and Nachman Esri where you plan to blow shofar, to have the tkiyas in conjunction with the Seder HaBrachas. So if he would have blown in Shachris because of Zviz Magdimim, he would have said Malchus Ben Shofis and Shachris. That's a simple answer. The Baal HaMo'or here on this daf on the bottom of the Rif, Rabbi Mizrachi Alevi, writes an interesting idea. He says that's a mistake that you only say Malchus Ben Shofis in Musaf. He says the Gemara. He says you say in Ma'ariv and Shachris and Musaf and Mincha. He says the Gemara. That's what he says. The last daf Yud Aleph in the Rif. He says the Gemara says in Brachas when Anshe Knesset Agadola composed all of the Tfilas and all the Brachas in the Nusach of Kiddush and Abdullah and so on. So the Gemara says Anshe Knesset Agadola consisted of a body of 120 Talmid Chachamim. Bohem Kamenavim, and amongst them were several Navim. So what's the significance of that line of Bohem Kamenavim? Why is that relevant? Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in Nefesh HaChaim that to compose a Nusach HaTfilah that should be followed for generations in the future, so it was necessary to have Navim. So then the Rav Soloveitchik added on in connection with this Gemara and Brachas. The Gemara says in Brachas when they were composing the Nusach of the Tfilah of the Amidah, what we call the Shman Esrei. It's not always Shman Esrei. By us, it's never. We have 19 brachas in the Shman Esrei. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we only have 9 brachas in what we call the Shman Esrei. Others call it the Amidah. The Amidah, the prayer that you say in a standing position, is called the Amidah. It's a more correct name. So on Atayna Sibu, the Mishnah says that the Chazan adds on another 6 brachas in the Chazaras HaShatz. It adds up to the sum total of 24. If you have 18 brachas to begin with, and you add another 6, it's 24. And the Gemara says on Rosh Hashanah is 9 brachas. So the Gemara says all of these formats, all of these, the outlines of the tefillah, that there's a tefillah with 18 units, so we have now a tefillah with 19 units, we have 19 brachas in the Amidah. And there's a tefillah with 9 units and 7 units and 24 units, each one has a makor in Tanakh. They felt compelled to find a makor in Kisra Kodesh to such a concept that you can have a tefillah that has so many parts to it. So the Gemara says in Brachas, the Lashon Gemara is Hani Teisha de Rosh Hashanah Keneged Man. Where do they have a source that there's such a tefillah, such an amida that has 9 parts to it, 9 brachas? So the Gemara says the Tfilas Chana, that she mentions Shem Hashem 9 times after she had the baby. She was married for so many years and she thought that she's never going to have any children. So she davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she was blessed with the baby Shmuel Anov. So the Gemara's Lashon is Hani Teisha de Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara doesn't say Hani Teisha de Musaf de Rosh Hashanah. Hani Teisha de Rosh Hashanah. Like the Gemara says, the 7 brachas of Shabbos and Yontif. Because all the Shmona Esrei, all the Amidas of Shabbos and Yontif have 7 brachas. So he says, by parallel, it would appear that all the Tfilas of Rosh Hashanah have 9 brachas. And the Maharsha points out that Be'emes there's a Rashi in the first parak in Avodah Zarah. First parak in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says, what if a person is not well, in a hospital, whatever, home, they can't go to shul, and after daven on Rosh Hashanah, be'yichidus. So let's say they can't sleep so well, so they wake up early and they want to daven Shachris and Musaf and make Kiddush and eat. And then they'll hear about the care will come later. They have their own shofar, they blow shofar on their own. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to daven Musaf. Biyachidus, begimul shoris v'shainis bayom, v'tzibu yemei and biyachidnat. So Rashi has a comment over there. Why not? So Rashi, in the middle of his commentary, assumes for davar pashut that you recite the malchus chena shofis and shachris also. No difference. Shachris and Musa, they both have. So Rashi also holds like this balamor. So if you say like Rashi in the balamor, is gorgut. It's simple. How can the Tanoim? How can the Gemara have a havamina that you should blow shofar in the middle of Shachris if you don't have Malchus Chena Shofris? So according to Rashi and the Balamor, that you say Malchus Chena Shofris all the Shmona Esrei, it's Pashut what? You do say Malchus Chena Shofris in Shachris. And even according to the way we don't follow that opinion, we only say Malchus Chena Shofris in Musaf. So the answer is, it's not a word that Musaf is different from the others. You say Malchus Chena Shofris, and that tefillah where you plan to blow shofar. So if he would have chosen to... If you would have chosen to emphasize this reason magdimim the mitzvahs over the heder of Beroy Vam Hadras Melech, we would have blown shofar in Chazaras Hashatz of Shachris. We would have said Malzahon Shofar in Shachris. So the Gemara points out there's a problem here. That the Mishnah says on Rosh Hashanah we choose to blow shofar in Musaf. Sounds like Beroy Vam Hadras Melech takes precedence over Jiz Magdimim. And then the same Mishnah has in one sentence. Same Mishnah says, and if it's not Rosh Hashanah, Mashmah says on Rosh Hashanah you don't say Halo. We know, and the Machzeh has everything but it doesn't have Halo. If it's another season of the year, Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, that you say Halo, or Bishas HaHalel, and another seasons of the year when you do say Halo, aside from Rosh Hashanah, they say Halo after Shachris. Why don't you say Halo after Musaf? The answer is Rizim Magdimim Limitzus. But what happened to Beroy Vam Hadras Melech? So the Gemara says, Zachastir Minayabay in the Mishnah. You have the two considerations, the same contradiction between the two considerations by Halo as by Shofar. So why do we choose on Rosh Hashanah? We prefer the Roy Vam Hadras Melech over the Rizim Magdimim. And on Halo, we prefer the Rizim Magdimim over the Beroy Vam Hadras Melech. And for the Gemara, there's no contradiction. We always choose Zrizin Magdimim over Beroy Vam Hadras Melech. And if you have a toss-up whether you're going to do the Pigyon HaBen 7 o'clock in the morning and there's barely going to be a minion, or you're going to do it at 7 o'clock in the evening and you have a whole banquet, so you're supposed to do it 7 o'clock in the morning and there won't be anybody there. But Zrizin Magdimim takes precedence. And if you can do the... That's a violation of Zvizim Magdimim. Mamish, to do the Pigyon HaBen. Everybody does like that. Pigyon HaBen late evening. In the afternoon. Yeah, evening, right before the Shki. Everybody does. So that's what the Poskim don't understand it. They say, you're doing after Chatzos, Mamish, you're violating Zvizim Magdimim and the Mitzvahs. Not only that, let's say you have a choice to daven at the 6 o'clock minyan and to do the Pigyon HaBen at 7, or to daven at the 8:30 minyan and to do the Pigyon HaBen at 9:30, and you'll have more people. A more reasonable hour of the day to daven 8:30 minyan, but who wants to daven at 6 o'clock minyan? So the Gemara sounds like you would say Zriz Magdim and the Mitzvahs takes precedence over Berei Vam Hadras. No, he should really always do as early as possible, unless the father is not prepared to wake up, but the kohen is not going to wake up. The baby you don't need, but the father and the kohen have to show up. So if they're not going to come, so there's nothing to discuss. But the father and the kohen are going to be there, and the money is going to be there. The only question is how many guests are going to come. So the Gemara says, strictly speaking, the rule is that Zvizim Magdimim, the heder of Zvizim Magdimim, takes precedence over the heder of Beroy Vam Hadras Melech. The story on Rosh Hashanah is an ander maise. The reason why we have decided to do Tkiyah Shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz and Musaf, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, it's a different story. V'shas Zeres HaMalchus Shanu. They used to blow shofar, so the blast of the trumpet, the blast of the horn, sounds like you're declaring war. So the government thought that they were married by Malchus. So they went wild every year when it came Rosh Hashanah. And the Rabbanim kept on explaining, no, this is a religious ritual. So when they said Hallel, Zogis Unterheit, say Hallel, no problem, say Hallel. No one got shaken up. But when they used to blow shofar, so the police would hear the shofar and they would start arresting the Rabbanim, and they said they thought they were married by Malchus. So they had to move the Tkiyah Shofar to Musaf because of this problem. What good? What did it help if they moved it to Musaf? So by the blowing Shofar to Musaf. So apparently Tosfos fills in the story. Apparently Shangid Davin so long and saying so many piyutim and everything. So the government representatives understood this is part of the religious ritual. If there's so much Gedavin,
the police may have gone for lunch.
Also, okay. So that's what the Gemara says. The really the Tkiyah Shofar should have been done in Shacharis. The same as Hallel, you do after Shacharis, not after Musaf, because Rizim Magdimim takes precedence over Barai Vom Hadras Melech. And the only reason why we change it by Tkiyah Shofar is because it exerts Hamal. So Ve'at Hashayla. So
why should we say that?
What are we in the free? We live in a free country in America. What, they're going to arrest us? They're going to think that we're married by Malchus because of blowing Shofar. What has it got to do with us? And Tosfos says the Afal Pisha Batla Exerus Hamalchus. Tosfos asks, what is the hashash today? The government couldn't care less. Do whatever you want. So Tosfos says we still do loyabdina kidameikor. We don't revert back to the ikadin the way it always used to be. Tosfos says that they always used to blow shofar and shacharis until they bumped into this obstacle. The reason why, Zok Tosfos, is because chashinu shem yachsa dovah lekilkula. We're afraid that we may have trouble again from the local government. But in principle, this is the one and only exception to the rule. It says, in principle, really, that's the Maskanas HaGemara, that whenever there's a toss-up between the Zriz Magdimim and the Barai Vom Hadras Melech, that's what all the Paskim quote this Gemara, that you see from this Gemara, that the Zriz Magdimim takes precedence, and you forget about the other Hidr. It's the more Chosh of a Hidr.
It's the same child with Ura, the same Friday afternoon, Christmas in the morning.
Well, Kavura is in addition to Zrizim Magdimim, it's more. Yeah, the Pasuk says, Vasalin of Losal Ha'ev, the Kavatik Brenna by Yomahu. So we learned in the Gemara that Lechatrile, the correct thing is to bury by Yomahu before Shkia. You should bury on the same day. Unless you want to notify more people to come to the Levi's, so there'll be more covered up. So then the din is you can do it balayla that night, even though it's not bayomahu. The essay, there's an essay in Alois essay. So the mitzvah says is kovetik berin bayomahu. Try to bury the mace on the same day. If that's physically impossible, he just died 5 minutes ago. You want to do a tara? It's impossible. You have to dig a grave. So then we have chach the din losolinev losa. Don't do halonas on mace past halos hashacha. Try to bury in the middle of the night. They didn't have any unions with all this kind of stuff, so they used to bury at night. So you should bury at night before Los HaShach, unless you want to call people in to come. What people? You want to call the children, they live in Europe, they live in California, the children won't be there before Los HaShach. So if you mail in as HaMeis, if you leave over the Meis after Shkia, and after Los HaShach, lichvodo shel HaMeis, in order to get more cover, to enhance the cover HaMeis, so then the Mishnah says that that's permissible. Because the Pasuk says, the whole Pasuk says in the Chumash, that the whole prohibition, the Solon of Los HaLeitz, because man was created b'tzelem alakim, and it'll be a bizayin ameis to postpone the levay. But if the postponing is adarabe, that will enhance the kavan ameis because more people will participate, so then you'll add a postpone. So if you can have the same number of people participating on Friday as on Sunday, so then you're not allowed to postpone till Sunday. Unless you're afraid it's okay. You can't schedule it Friday morning, not enough people will know. You're going to have to schedule Friday afternoon. Friday afternoon, they may be Chilul Shabbos. Some of the people may drive back, or they're going to be rushing. They're going to be rushing. So then you're permitted to postpone to Sunday. You have to consider Kovod HaMeis. So there's a, in addition to the Zriz Magdim LaMitzvahs, of the general for all the mitzvahs, you should try to do it a day earlier or a few hours earlier, as opposed to a day later or a few hours later. There's a particular mitzvah that kavdik bered amayimahu, not to postpone, because postponing a kvur is considered a bizayin ames. That's how the Chumash.
Is there any reason for the minhag of pidyon haben to postpone it to the evening?
The whole reason is because of Beroivam Hagras Melech. So the Poskim say it's against the Gemara. You see from the Gemara when you have this conflict.
That's the wrong winner.
It's incorrect.
That the whole tefillah is achona. They keep on going. Let them watch on it. We go. We get involved in the tefillah. They become by Musaf. The person is more involved in the tefillah, in the topic, than he is. Right, but he didn't warm up yet. So therefore, you come close. You don't need any particular explanation, because the longer you wait almost at the end of the time. It's far more effective.
You're supposed to make kavanah.
A good time.
Build up the kavanah now before.
That's a good time. Okay.
Why don't we have a chasson in the morning to do some with the tefillah?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't know. We have a minig that the day of the chasson, the chasson fasts.
Kala
fast. Okay. Chasson Kala fast. So they give different reasons why. So some of the Rishonim say that the reason why they don't eat before the chuppah is based on the Mishnah and Sukkah. That it says that you're not permitted to eat before you bench Esrich. Whenever there's a mitzvah, which is Manoi Veris, if it's a mitzvah, you got all the time in the world. So what's so bad? So you'll eat and you'll enjoy the meal and you'll forget about the mitzvah, you take care of it tomorrow, the day after, no big rush. But if it's a mitzvah, if you don't hurry up, if you don't do the mitzvah today, you'll forfeit the mitzvah. That's a mitzvah shezman averes. So the Mishnah implies in Sukkah, and the whole Sukkah talks about that you're not allowed to eat before you perform the mitzvah. So that's what some of the Rishonim, the Kolbos, one of the Balei HaTosafot writes, that the chosen performs a mitzvah by getting married. Kala is also involved in the mitzvah. They perform a mitzvah by getting married, so to say, from the time they get engaged, they're not allowed to eat, they're not holding by getting married. But on the day on which they plan to have the chasanah, so you tell them, don't eat until you get married, because you're going to do a mitzvah. So that's what the Pesachei Tshuva says, the day on which you're going to do Pidyon HaBen, the father of the baby shouldn't eat. So they say, Gewalt, how can you tell? You're going to have the Pidyon HaBen 7 o'clock in the evening, a whole day is going to fast. So they say, that's another reason why they say it's not right to postpone a bris. They say the day the father has the mitzvah to do the bris milah, he shouldn't eat that whole day until he performs the bris, until he takes care of the Pidyon HaBen.
The Pidyon HaBen has to be that day. You really have to use the Pidyon HaBen. He's saying the morning's reason. He's not married the night before.
Riz Magdimin should require everyone should get married at a younger age and as early as possible. You got to have the right girl. Okay. but once you pick the right girl, so they shouldn't have a long engagement. They should make whatever hachanas they need. They should get married as soon as possible.
Right. Who did they used to make a whole year?
Reason, you couldn't have married the night before, and then you have the same question. That's what I'm saying.
Usually they pick the date based on when the girl can go to mikveh and when people will be able to come in from out of town. Whatever considerations they have. Okay, whatever considerations. So sometimes it's not shach to have it. The question is sometimes not shach to have the wedding in the morning because you won't have as many guests coming. So that's right to the shalom. What do you mean? What are you worried about the guests? So the guests won't come.
No, that's but what he says is it is reason. Let's say they want to get married Thursday. And so they get married Wednesday night. Wednesday night is the beginning of Thursday.
Yeah.
So there is reason to write as soon as the day starts.
Oh, yeah, it's a different time.
They should pick the earliest start.
The earliest time.
Okay. Okay. Why do we have all the weddings at night in order that everybody should be able to attend? That's the Beroivam Hadras Melech. You should ignore that consideration. They could have gotten married earlier, Zviz Magdimim, a day or two earlier. I the guests can only come on Sunday, the guests from out of town. So we'll live without the guests from out of town.
When you schedule a day, you do it in the beginning of the day. If you do it at night, you're doing it at the beginning of the day, of that day.
Right? They could have done it a day earlier.
They could have done it a week earlier too.
You should do the earliest.
But they would always do it the night before, because that would be the day they scheduled it.
No. Building the sukkah, that's not the mitzvah, that's a hechshen mitzvah. You're preparing for the mitzvah. No, we're talking about actually. Say the bracha shechianu. Shechianu, no, shechianu on the sukkah is like buying a car. When you buy a new car, when you buy a new suit, so you say shechianu. So when you build a house, you say shechianu. When you buy underwear, you don't say Shachyanu, not so excited. When you build even a little sukkah, if you build a doghouse, you probably don't say Shachyanu, not so excited. You build a little hut, not so excited. But if you build a little hut that's a sukkah, so the fact that it's a sukkah, that gives it chashiva, is like a tuxedo. That makes it so chashiv. That's how the Rishonim say. The Shachyanu man asiyas ha-sukkah, the Gemara says you can really say Shachyanu when you build the sukkah. And if you said Shachyanu when you built the sukkah, then you don't have to say Shachyanu in Kiddush on the first night of Sukkot, because you're not changing up Shachyanu in connection with the Sukkot. So, but the Gemara says, though, our practice is we save the Shachyanu till we say Kiddush, because we're going to save the Shachyanu ala kos, and the bracha ala kos is a more enhanced chashivas, adds to the chashivas. But strictly speaking, the Gemara says you could have said the Shachyanu when you build the Sukkot. Shachyanu is like a kind of bais chadosh. It's a little hut, what's so important, and it's only you're going to take it down in another 8 days. So what's the big chashivas? The answer is, since it's a davishal mitzvah, so it has the chashivas, like a kind of bayis chadosh, or a kind of begadim chadoshim. Why don't we do pidyon aben balayla? That's a deep, dark secret. The minig is that we only do pidyon aben on the yom lamed aleph, we don't do on leil lamed aleph. That's a big question, why? The Netziv claims in his tshuvas that he claims that Bizman HaGemara, their practice was that they did it balayla. It's not really muchach, that's what he thinks. But in Paskim and Shulchan Aruch, they have around 10 explanations as to why the minig is that they do the pidyon aben bayom. So the Shach in Yerudei and Simin Shinhei, that's the one sim that has all of Hilchos pidyon aben, is one sim in Shinhei in the third Chelik Yerudei. So the Shach says the only reason why you do pidyon aben bayom as opposed to leil lamed aleph is because the minig is that you make a suda, and at night it's dark and the people can't see the food. And the Gemara says in the last perek in Yuma that blind people don't enjoy the food as much as people who are able to see, because when you see the delicious food, you start to salivate and you already get annoyed from looking at the food. And Nebuchadnezzar, a person can't see a suma or a balayla, where you can't see the food, so you don't enjoy the food as much. That's the reason that the shach gives. And many poskim say, if you turn on the lights, there's even the Sma even writes in Choshen Mishpat that this is really wild. The Sma writes, you cannot have a din Torah balayla. We learn that from Sukkim Kabbalah. The Seder has to be bayom. You can't be kaveh yeshivas bezim balayla. So the Sma writes, if you turn on the lights, it has the din of yom. So that's very, very, he has it based on the Gemara Sanhedrin. Very, very shver. That's a shver of work. But this we understand. The Shach says that the reason why you don't do balayla because it's dark. No, so that reason doesn't really apply by us. We have lights, we have chandeliers and everything. Laila kayom yoyer.
The people. Home, you're not allowed to bring it nice. If you turn on the light, you will be allowed to bring it at night.
Of course not. So matzah has to be balayla. No,
yes,
of course not.
Abada.
This is a pillar. Yeah, that's a pillar. Anyway, that's what the Shach says the reason. Other Achrenim say the reason why we choose to do Pinyin Aben Bayom is because it's Zecher L'Makas Becheres, and Makas Becheres was Bayom. It wasn't Bayom. So they quote the introduction to the Maseches Mochis. It's printed in all in the back of all the Gemara. Maseches Mochis is a euphemism for Hilchos Avelos. They don't want to say Avelis, it's the same thing, so it's called Hilchos Mochis, Maseches Mochis, from the Goyne. So Maseches Mochis has all the dinim. So before you get to Sif Aleph, before you get to Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, it's not really Brises, it's by the Gaonim. It's not from the Tanoim or the Amorim. It's composed, all the Masechtes Tanis, the Mogen Avram writes, all the Masechtes Tanis, Maseches Sofrim, and Tzitzis, and Tfilin, and Geirim, and Avodim, these are all from the Goyne. So there's an introduction before you get to Perek Aleph Mishnah. Nice. So the introduction, it says, Hashem Hiko Kol Bechor. I don't know exactly why it's the introduction to Maseches Machos. Hashem Hiko Kol Bechor. Hashem Hiko Kol Bechor. So it says the Bechorim were sick from Chatzos till Alos Hashachar, and then they died in the morning. So that's what the Achrayim quote. You see that it's Pidyon Aben Zeich on the Makas Bechoris. The makkah was at Vahibachtzeh, but the actual death was only Bayom, so that's why we insist on having Pinyin Aben Bayom. It's very difficult. The Gemara said beferish that Pinyin Aben is not a mitzvah seser shazman grama. The Gemara asked, how come the mother is not obligated to perform Pinyin Aben on her son? That's not a mitzvah seser shazman grama. So the Gemara says, well, it's Akzeris HaKosuf. We learn from a pasuk that the mother has no obligation. Why is it not as man grama if it's only Bayom and not Balayla? Others say, based on the Gemara in the end of Chulin, that Pidyon HaBen is from the Matnas Kahuna. All the Matnas Kahuna are considered the Mishpat. Is that right?
It's Kinyan.
No, that's only in the Rabbanon. In the Rabbanon, we don't allow because Piron Achoy. The Mishnah says in the end of Shabbos, you're not allowed to pay up a debt on Shabbos. Not only if you pay by cash, that's Tilkun Muktzah. Of course you're not allowed to. Even if they by giving svarim, by giving clothing, food. By giving food, that's the value of the chayiv. It's gzeir shema yichtov. We're afraid that someone will write down a receipt that it was keep a record that it was paid up. So Shulchan Aruch says that you're not permitted. That's from the achrayim. You're not permitted to do pidyon HaBen on Shabbos and Yontov because of the gzeir shema yichtov, like piron achayiv. No, it doesn't say how you mefarperim koloso halayla. What are you reading? The Chumash?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the first introduction to the Maseches Smachos says Hoy mefarperim koloso halayla adabok. Meaning the mashmoyt of the Chumash is that they died by life. I don't know what they do with it. So with the kasha, it's a murderous kasha. But that's what it says in the introduction to the Maseches Smachos. Mefarperim, mefarperim is one of the goyses. They were goysesim all night long from chatzos halayla till alos hashachar, and then it says they finally died at alos hashachar. So what do they do with the pasuk? I don't know. They give various reasons. All the reasons are very difficult. There's a sefer on by an Ungarish Rav that's called Likute Pinchos. It's like the Darkei Tshuva. It looks like a Darkei Tshuva. Just on Simen Shinhei, just on Pidyon HaBen. All sefer. And he gives a quote, a likut of about the 10 explanations that the Achrenim give why the minig is that you do Pidyon HaBen Bayom. They're not so serious. One of the more serious explanations, but we really don't hold like this either. One of the more serious explanations is that there is a dispute in Rishonim. This is already something to rely on, but we don't pass them like this. There is a machlokes in Rishonim. When do you do Pidyon HaBen? We do on the Yom Lamed Aleph. After 30 days are up, at the beginning of the 31st day. So how do you determine when is the Yom Lamed Aleph? How do you determine? So some Rishonim say it's not really correct. You don't do Pidyon HaBen on the Yom Lamed Aleph. You do Pidyon HaBen, there's a Moilet Halavana. The time that it takes from one Moilet Halavana to the next is Choftes Yom Yud Bei Shoes and Tashtzag Chalokim. Yeah. It's 29 days, 12 hours, and a few minutes, and a few halakim there, one chelik left over. So there is a minority opinion in the Rishonim that when you do the Pidyon HaBen, it doesn't depend on Yom Lamed Aleph. It all depends on do you have a full Vduya Ben Chodesh Tifta. Pidyon HaBen is after the month is over. How long is the month? Some months have 30 days, some months have 29 days. The answer is neither. It's Choftes Yom Yud Bei Shoes Tash Tzag Chalokim. That's the length of a month from Moilet to Moilet. So even though the baby is not born around the Moilet time, the baby is born in the middle of the month, that's it. You gotta wait a full Choftes Yom Yud Bei Shoes. So sometimes if it'll be in the summertime, let's say in the Shkia is what time is the Shkia? The latest? 9 o'clock?
8:30.
Let's say. So it's Gemalt, if you'll have the Shkia will be 8:30 and the baby is born right before the Shkia. So you'll have Yom Lamed Aleph. Let's say if a baby is born on a Sunday. So when will the Yom Lamed Aleph be? 28 days is exactly 4 weeks. So it's 29, 30, 31. So it'll be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So it's always 2 days later. Baby's born on a Sunday, so the Pidyon HaBen will be 4 weeks later, 2 days later. Baby's born on Sunday, it'll be on a Tuesday. Baby's born on a Monday, it'll be on a Wednesday, 2 days later. So let's say the baby is born on a Sunday, in the summertime at 9 o'clock, let's say the Shkia is 9 o'clock, I lost track. Baby's born a minute before 9. So if you'll wait 4 weeks later, and then you say the Pidyon HaBen can be done on the Yom Lamed Aleph, the Yom Lamed Aleph is Tuesday.
Yeah.
But Hayom Halach Achar HaLaila, on Monday night, is also Tuesday. So if you do the Pidyon HaBen on Monday night, it'll be the 31st day, but you will not yet have 29 full days and 12 full hours with a few minutes in a chelek. You won't have the chav tes yom yud beis shoes tash tzag chalokim. So that's what some achrayim say, that in order to satisfy that opinion that you always need chav tes 29 and a half days, that's why we have chosen to make a light plug that we never do a pinyin aben balayla, we always do it by yom. Now, you do it by yom, sometimes you still didn't solve the problem.
Yeah.
I remember I once attended a bris. Forgot already who's bris. I attended a pinyin aben, and they asked me to give a long drasha because it's not yet, the pinyin aben was in the morning. It was on Chalamay Pesach somewhere. In some restaurant on the east side, I think, I don't remember. So they asked me to please give a long drasha because it's still not the chavtes yom yud beishoes. It's around 11 o'clock in the morning or something. It still wasn't the full amount of time. So even if you wait till the morning of the yom lamed aleph, sometimes you're still not yotze from that. The Sanhedrin Achrenim say that's the reason for the minig. It's a shver minig, though. It's a shver minig. Why don't we say zviz magdim lemitzvah? You should do the pigyon aben leil. Leil lamed aleph. Why do we wait till the morning? It's like a questionable minig. And the Achrenim gave all these terutzim. It's a shver terutzim. Sometimes we do it by laila. Sometimes you do. Let's say once in a while, if you know that let's say it's going to be a short Friday in the winter, and you're going to want to have a pinyin aben, and no one's going to show up. You can't have it in the morning. No one's going to show up. You can't have it in the afternoon. It's erev Shabbos. You can't do a pinyin aben on a short Friday. So then many will allow to have the pinyin aben on Thursday night on the leil lamed aleph.
Erev Tishah B'av.
Okay. Yeah. When you have no brera, a tonis. Yeah, so sometimes a tonis. When you're going to do the pinyin aben on the tonis, you're not going to have a suda. So you do the pinyin aben, and then you have the suda balayla. So some will say, no, I have to have the pinyin aben leil lamed aleph, the night of the tonis, and you have the suda leil tonis. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where a humorous shaila. The father made a mistake, and he invited everybody to come to the pinyin aben on the 30th day. Instead of the 31st day, David was born on a Sunday. Pinyin aben is supposed to be on a Tuesday. So he made a mistake. He told everybody to come on a Monday, and everything is all, the catering is all set up. And then the kohen finds out the baby was born on a Sunday. What's he doing pinyin aben on a Monday? So they called up Rav Moshe. They didn't know what to do. So Rav Moshe said, stall off another hour till we do Tzeisach Kachavim and make the pinyin aben on Leil Lamed Aleph. Then you may do on Leil. We have all the 10 reasons, all 10 reasons together are shvacha reasons. So if you have a slight chas atrak, so you do the pinyin aben b'layla. But this is a very important gemara. This gemara is quoted by the Chayyadim, by all the later pasuk. Whenever there's a toss up between these two hidurim, of on the one hand, zviz magdim l'mitzvah to do the mitzvah earlier, and on the other hand, to do v'roivam hadas melech, so the gemara says that we choose the Zriz Magdimim over the Hidur of Bereivam Hadras Malach. The Gemara comments that the Lashon HaMishnah implies that on Rosh Hashanah we do not say Halal. Or B'Shas HaHalal, if it will be another Yontav on Pesach Shavuot Sukkis, then we would say Halal after Shachas. But on Rosh Hashanah you don't say Halal. So that's where the Gemara asks the question, why not? So the Gemara answers that the Malachi Omer Rabbi Abo, the Malachi Asharis raised the issue by the Rabbanu Shalom. So he asked the Rabbanu Shalom, "Pnima ein Yisrael amim shiru lefanecha b'Rosh Hashanah u'b'yom HaKippurim, how come the Jews are not reciting Hallel?" So the Rabbanu Shalom says, "Know that they're doing right. They're not supposed to say Hallel. Does it make sense?" The Rabbanu Shalom says, "Efshe Melach Yoshev al Kisei Din. If I'm sitting in judgment, b'sifre chaim b'sifre meisim suchim lefanav, I'm deciding people's lives, whether they should live or die. He said, I'm Shira. This is not a time to say Halal. So we're doing right that we don't say Halal. So this is a big machloikis. What exactly was the answer of the Gemara? What's the explanation why we don't recite Halal on Rosh Hashanah? There is a Gemara in Erechin. The main sugi of Halal is in Erechin Daf Yud. The Gemara tells you when you say Halal, when you don't say Halal. So the Gemara asks the question, how come we only say Halal on Yontif and not on Rosh, and not on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, no, Shabbos is not Ikri Moed. What does that mean, Shabbos not Ikri Moed? So the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that Halal in it is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. And on Shabbos is not called Moed, there's no mitzvah of Simcha, there's Kibbut V'yonik, but there's no mitzvah of Simcha. So according to that Ramban, that Halal is a fulfillment of the mitzvah, The Ramban suggests that perhaps halal is a mitzvah min haTorah. The Rambam writes, everybody knows, Tosis and the Rambam both write, everybody knows that halal is only midrabbanan. And the Ramban writes, he's not so convinced. Maybe the Bahag, who counted halal as a mitzvah in the listing of the 630 mitzvahs, maybe he means to count mitzvahs derabbanan also, because he counts Ventilus Yadayim and Hadlakas Neiros Chanuk also, so maybe he means that halal is a mitzvah derabbanan. Or maybe he understood that halal is a mitzvah min haTorah. And Rashi also, perhaps, that's where Avodah L'Soloveitchik points out, Rashi claims in Brachas on Daf Chav that the rule that women are not obligated to fulfill mitzvah haseh shazman grama, women don't have to sit in sukkah, they don't have to ben shesed, they don't have to listen to shkia shofar. So Rashi claims that that rule only applies to mitzvahs deraisa. In mitzvahs derabbanan there's no rule. It all depends how the chachamim were misakin, when they were misakin the mitzvah. Were they mechayiv women or were they not mechayiv women? But there's no rule at all. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and they claim no, that in principle there is a rule even by mitzvahs derabbanan, the mitzvahs haseh shazman grama, women are poter, and there are a few exceptions to the rule. Abba Kaisis and Mikra Megillah Hadlokas Neres Chanukah, because afin hay bios anes, so that's why we obligate women. But these are exceptions to the rule. The rule being kol mitzvah haseh shazman grama, nashim pturais. It applies both to mitzvahs derais and the rabbanan. But haraya Tosfos proves it from halal. There's a gemara that says beferish that women are not obligated to recite halal on Pesach Shavuos Sukkot. The gemara never says about Chanukah. That's a question of Rishonim. The gemara says Pesach Shavuos Sukkot. The women are not obligated to recite halal. So Tosfos says, well, we all know that halal is only mid the rabbanan. So according to Rashi, that there's no rule on mitzvahs derabbanan. So how did the gemara know that women are exempt from halal on Pesach Shavuos Sukkot? So it's a raya that the rules, man grama, women are part of the rule, applies equally to mitzvahs deraisa derabbanan. So what's takashitas Rashi? According to Rashi, that the rule doesn't apply to mitzvahs derabbanan. So why does the gemara assume that women are exempt from halal? The Avodah L'Soloveitchik writes in a sefer on Masechah Sukkah, maybe Rashi thinks like this Ramban, that halal on yontif is deraisa. It's a fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's a way to fulfill the mitzvah of simchas yontif. So if one should assume like that Ramban, either min haTorah or min derabbanan, that halal is a way to fulfill the mitzvah of simchas yontif, and that's what the Gemara meant. But why don't we recite halal every Shabbos? The Gemara says that's not a mayit. It means that there's no chiyuv simcha. So if so, one can interpret that that's what the Gemara answers over here. Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Meisim, Suchim Lefonov is not a good time to say halal. What it means is that there is no mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Simcha past arayin on Shavuos Regalim, v'samachta b'chagecha, says by Sukkot, and hukshu kol ha-mayadah is ha-hadadi, goes on Pesach Shavuos Sukkot. But Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is yomim neroim, maybe there's no chiyuv simcha.
What about the Masechet
Shabbat? Oh, so that Rav Soloveitchik used to point out, the Pashtus is that that's a machlokes ha-tanoim. Shagasari has a tshuva about this. Is there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or not? So he quotes, among other things, Shagasari quotes the Mishnah in Moed Katan, that it says if a person is in the middle of Shiva and it comes a Yontif, so Yontif cancels Shiva. Person in the already finished Shiva, he's in the middle of Shloshim, it comes a Yontif, he cancels Shloshim. So the Mishnah says that's a Yontif of Pesach Shavuos Sukkot. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a Machlokes HaTanoim, whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur cancel Shiva and Shloshim or not? What's this whole issue? How come Yontif cancels Shiva and Shloshim? Why doesn't Shabbos cancel Shiva and Shloshim? The Tosfos explains, Tosfos quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi on that Mishnah in Moed Katan, that on Shabbos there's a mitzvah of kibud v'yonim, but there is no mitzvah of simcha. So observance of avelus is not necessarily in contradiction to kibud v'yonim. A little bit, yes. If one will observe avelus, but for hesyeh, so that will be in contradiction to kibud v'yonim. So you don't, the Gemara says, so you don't observe. One does not observe avelus, but for hesyeh on Shabbos. But dvarm shebitzina, one observes avelus shebitzina. And the Gemara has discussions what's considered Avelus Befarasi, what aspects of Avelus are considered Bitsina, and what aspects are considered Befarasi. That's a big problem. But in principle, the Gemara says Avelus Bitsina is not, observance of Avelus Bitsina is not really in contradiction to Kibud V'yoyna, to Shabbos. But on Yontif, even Avelus Bitsina, everything is in contradiction to Yontif, because Avelus and Simcha are tied to this Asri. Because on Yontif there's a mitzvah of Simcha, and on Shabbos there is no mitzvah of Simcha. Also Yesed Derabim, the Gemara says that Esed Derabim of Simcha Yontif is by definition in contribution to the mitzvah of Avelus. So that's the So if that's the principle, that whenever there's a mitzvah of simcha, like on Shalosh Shigolim, that's a contradiction to Avelis. So the Pashtus is that that's exactly the point of Machlekes in the Mishnah. Mishnah has a Machlekes Rabbi Gamliel and the Hachamim. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, whether they cancel Shiva, they cancel Shlosh? So the Pashtus says that's exactly the dispute. Is there a mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or not? So how do we paskin? We paskin, yes, that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur do cancel Avelis. How can there be a pilpul? What is there to discuss? So the answer is, just in the rules of Pesach, the answer is, whenever there's a Machlekes Hatanoim, in halacha, even if we paskin, if it's yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim, we paskin like the rabbim in general, when that machlekes is neged avelis, we have a right to follow the yachid. That's called halacha k'dibra mekel ba'ovel. Omer Shmuel, halacha k'dibra mekel ba'ovel. Whenever there's any sofek avelis, we go l'kula. That's based on a pasuk. Sofek avelis l'kula. And sofek avelis l'kula is even if it's only a sofek koldu. Even only a slight suffix. The odds are that there should be avelis, but there's a slight suffix. So a slight suffix koldu can either be a suffix in mitzias, when did the person die or something like that, or a suffix in dina, sveiked a dina. If there's a machlekes hatanoim, and we nem on, we accept the shitas harabin, the majority opinion. So it doesn't mean that the shitas hayochid is wrong. It's nitcha legami min halacha. It's a suffix koldu. That's how the Ran and Kiddushin explains. It's suffix kol suff. In the back of our minds, we still have a Sufik Kalduhu that maybe the Yochid's opinion should be accepted. It's not that we have decided that he's absolutely wrong. So Sufik Kalduhu is sufficient to say Sufik Avelis Lahoka. So the Tanoim Taka have the Machloikis, whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is their Avelis or not. They're arguing whether there's a mitzvah of Simchan Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And we paskin that it does cancel Shiv and Shloishim. Maybe Mikra Adin, we hold that there's no Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But Allah Chitirah Mekel Bo'ovo, since there was such an opinion of such a Tana, so when it comes to Hilchas Avelis, so we adopt a lenient position.
What opinion about Ezra told the people to go to go to their houses?
Have Simcha, yeah.
Yeah, the simple mashmos of the Pasuk in Ezra, they opened up the second Beis HaMikdash, they opened up the Holy Temple for... Satera is described there. He must have paid a lot of money for that aliyah. First aliyah of Rosh Hashanah. First day, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, it says. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So then he told all the people, now is not a time to cry. Al tifku. Everyone, ichluma, they should go home and they should rejoice and they should celebrate and they should be happy and they should give food. Whoever didn't prepare any food, the other should give them food. Shulchan manas le'nochanot. Yeah. So the simple reading of the pasuk is that there is a mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah. That's what all the poskim call. The mashmoy says that there is a mitzvah of simcha. No, he says kikadosh hayom la'adonenu. He doesn't say because of the. You're saying because of the binyan Beis HaMikdash. That would have been a consideration. But he says they should celebrate kikadosh hayom la'adonenu because it's Rosh Hashanah. Good point. I don't know. He says even if you hold that there's no chi of simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, maybe it's mitam loyplug mitam shalosh agon. And shalosh agon, there is a mitzvah of simcha, maybe. But this is how I think the Shagasari learns this pshat. Right. Okay. So the simple way to read the Gemara is that we don't recite Halal and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because Halal is supposed to be a fulfillment of Mitzvah Simcha, and how can there be a Mitzvah Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur if Sivach Chai Sivach Meis Mitzvah Lafan? But even if one will assume that there is a Mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you can still understand the Gemara. Still not shver. The Rambam, when he quotes this Gemara in the end of Hilchas Chanukah, the Rambam quotes all the dinim of Halal. So he writes on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur we don't recite Halal because they're not Yemei Simcha Yisera. He doesn't say they're not Yemei Simcha. So it sounds like he holds that there is a mitzvah of Simcha. But it's not Yemei Simcha Yisera, it's a different kind of Simcha. It's a low-key, toned-down Simcha, low-key Simcha. It's not that kind of a simcha. Rav Soloveitchik, I think, defined it, that the mitzvah of simcha, the kiyum is belayv. The kiyum is belayv. So on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there are maisim that you have to do. You have to have basa v'yayin, and simcha l'basa v'yayin, and you have to recite halal, do different things. But the kiyum mitzvah is belayv. So on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, perhaps what the Rama means by saying it's not yemei simcha yisera means that there are no particular maise ha-mitzvah at all. It's only belayv. The key, the mitzvah of simcha is only belayv. There's nothing specific that you're obligated to do, nothing external. It's only inside. Because of the fact that Sifra Chaim is Sifra Meisim, Sifra Nafan. Right, that's the theme that Rav Soloveitchik developed. He thought based on a Gemara Chagiga in the first parak, there's an Agadate. The Gemara says in the first parak in Chagiga, Ein atzus l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in the presence of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's never any sadness. As the pasuk says, Hod v'hod alafanov, oiz v'chedvo b'mkoyma. That in the presence of the Shechina, the Mekama Shal HaShechina is always chedvo, it's always rejoicing. Frek the Gemara, but the pasuk says, the Rebbeinu Shalom is crying, b'mistarim tivken nafshi, because of the golos of Klal Yisrael and the churbanos and the suffering that the Yidden go through. And for the Gemara, b'mistarim. B'bate gavoy, there's crying. But b'bate baroi, the Rebbeinu Shalom never shows outside that there's any sin. So the Rav assumed that that's the definition of simcha. That simcha is whenever, the pasuk always says, Esmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokechem. That's a recurrent theme in the pasuk. That simcha is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rav assumed, based on another Gemara, Moikotten, that whenever there's an obligation to be lefnei Hashem, that engenders a chiyuv simcha. So on Shalosh Regalim, there's a chiyuv to be lefnei Hashem, there's a chiyuv simcha. How do you know? The pasuk says, "Samachta b'chagecha." How do you know? How does he know that the reason why the samachta b'chagecha is because you have to be early regal, because you have to go in the lifnei Hashem to be early regal to visit the Mishkan, to visit the Beis Hamikdash. That's why there's a chim simcha. Maybe there's a chim simcha because on Yom Tov there's a chim simcha, nothing to do with lifnei Hashem. Who says that that's the reason why? So he said, "No, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says Kain Gadol all year long has the same status ki yisol b'regal domi." So just like Yisrael Baregel had a chiyuv simcha, so the Gemara says on the first daf in Eilu Megalchin, in the third parak in Moed Kodem, Kain Gadol Kol Hashana Kulo Ki Yisrael Baregel Dome, he has a chiyuv simcha. Relevant to Oinen, that the Kain Gadol is Makriv Oinen. Why is the Kain Gadol Makriv Karbonis in the state of Anidus? Because all you, just like there's no Avelis on Yontiv, so Kain Gadol never observes Avelis Kol Hashana Kulo. Why is that? So he thought that that's what the Gemara meant to say, that the Chiyuv Simcha on Shalosh Regalim is not because Yontif has a Chiyuv Simcha, because on Yontif there's a Chiyuv to be Lefnei Hashem, to be Oyle Regel, and being Lefnei Hashem is what's Mechayiv in Simcha. So the Kain Gadol has a Chiyuv all year long to be in the Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Rambam writes in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash. You appoint the Kain Gadol and the mitzvah of the Kain Gadol to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long to supervise the Hakrovus HaKarbon. So his Chiyuv is to be in the Beis HaMikdash all the time. That's why he has a chiyuv simcha. So then Rav Soloveitchik thought, so what's the story on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Is there a chiyuv to be lefnei Hashem, in which case there would be a chiyuv simcha, or is there no chiyuv? So he thought the Gemara has here in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara has in the beginning of the third parak, on Chavav Amid Aleph, the Mishnah says, Kol HaShofar is Ksherim, any horn from any kosher animal, from a non-kosher animal, the Ram says that you can't use the horn of a non-kosher animal. For a shofar, this is on Chavav Amid Aleph. You can't use a shofar from a non-kosher animal for the mitzvah because the Gemara says, the Gemara says that the tefillin, the ritzus of the tefillin and the batim and so on have to be dafka or behemet Torah. So you can't use or behemet man. So the Ran made a jump. Even though the Gemara only says it by Tashmishei Kedusha, by Tefillin and Mezuzah and Sefer Torah in the Mishkan, Oris Eilim Adam Oris Tachashim Atzei Shittim. So the Gemara says, what kind of an animal was this Tachash? We don't have any Tachash today. The Gemara says the Tachash was only an animal that existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have it anymore. So the Gemara declares, what kind of an animal was it? Was it a kosher animal or was it not necessarily a kosher animal. Gemara said, what are you talking about? It had to be a kosher animal. Because we have this tradition. Gemiri, we have Allah on Oshin Sinai, Lehukshu, Lamalacha Shamayim, Alor Beim, Atar Bogad. If you're using Oris Techoshin, if you use the hide, the skin from the Tachash animal, to make the ureas of the Mishkan, so of course it has to be a kosher animal. You're not allowed to use a non-kosher animal for the Mishkan. So the Ran made a major chiddush over here, that not only is that halacha l'moshe m'sinai so regarding Mishkan and Tfilin and Mezuzah and Sefer Torah, this is Tashmisha Kedusha. That has Kedusha. It's even true regarding a shofar, which is only Tashmisha Mitzvah. After Rosh Hashanah is over, the Gemara says, you want, you can throw the shofar out in the garbage. It doesn't have any Kedusha. So the Ran had this big chiddush that it even applies to Tashmisha Mitzvah as well. So it has to be the horn from a kosher animal. That's a discussion of Shulchan Aruch. Is there such a thing in Metzius? Does such a thing exist, a horn from a non-kosher animal? Doesn't the Gemara say in Perikei L'Treifis, in the third Perikei Chulin, that one of the ways to determine whether any given animal is a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal is to see if it has horns. If it has horns, that's a simon that it's a kosher animal.
Straight or...
So there's a whole discussion, and that's another condition. That's what the Ramban in his drasha for Rosh Hashanah, Ramban, when he came from Spain, the Ramban had to run away from Spain because he had a debate with a Meshumad, and the Ramban won the debate. If you win, you lose.
Yeah.
Ramban won the debate, and he showed that there's nothing wrong with Judaism, and Christianity is all forced.
He won the war and lost the battle.
He lost, yeah. So he won the debate against the whole Christian religion, so he had to leave Spain. So he went to Eretz Israel. So he came to Eretz Israel, he came to the Ramban shul. That's what they said. He came to the shul that's known as the Beis HaKnesset Ramban.
No minion.
Right. So he writes that on Rosh Hashanah he gathered together a minion, a blue shofar. And he held that drasha, it must have been for 5-6 hours, held a long drasha, and he wrote down the whole drasha. He wrote down, he went through the whole Maseches Rosh Hashanah, from cover to cover, the drashas and Ramban. He went through all the dinim of tkiyas, and all the kavanas, and all the agarate, along the drasha, he went through everything. So in the drasha of the Ramban, the Rishonim quote, the Ran quotes from the drasha of Ramban, the word shofar comes from the word shfoferes, a straw, that's hollow in the middle. So a shofar can only be a horn of an animal that has flesh in the horn, and you scrape out the flesh, and then you have a hollowed out horn. But some animals have a solid horn. There's no flesh inside, just horn. So you can take a drill and drill a hole through. He says that's not called a shofar, because the word shofar by definition is miloshen shfoferes. You have to be able to scrape out the flesh inside, and mele you have a horn. So that's the rule. In order to be considered a shofar, it has to be from a horn, from a kosher animal that has two parts to it. It has the hard part and the soft part inside the flesh, and you scrape out the flesh and it makes noise. So that's called a shofar. So the Mishnah has a machlekes hatanaim. What about a shofar shel pora? What if you use the horn from a cow? Is there anything wrong with that? It's a kosher animal and it has what to hollow out to remove the flesh. And it'll make a sound. You'll blow it. It'll sound like a shofar also. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. So we paskin, it's no good. Shofar shel pora is no good. It has to come from a different kosher animal. And Rabbi Yosi disagrees, and he holds kol shofars are kosher. Even a shofar shel pora is also good. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. What's wrong with a shofar shel pora? What's that? Is all said. Why the Tanakhama say that you're not allowed to use a shofar shel pora? So the Gemara gives one of the explanations is because. Para, that's reminiscent of the Egel HaZahav. How is the para reminiscent of the Egel HaZahav? The Egel HaZahav was a statue. The para is the mother of an eagle. A cow is the mother of a kid. So how is the para, a real horn from a real live animal, a bus of a dumb animal, how is that reminiscent of the Egel HaZahav, which was a statue that was carved out from gold? So the Gemara says, we have a rule, Ein Kategor Nasa San Egel. A Dabashal Aveira cannot be used to serve mitzvah. As a Dabashal Mitzvah. So on Kol HaTorah Kula, whenever you're talking about a lulav or any other mitzvah, so we only consider it a kategor, it's only called the Dabashal Aveira, if this lulav is a lulav agozah. This lulav is actually a lulav agozah. An Aveira was performed, and this particular object was given a new label, a new Chal Hashem, because of the fact that an aver was done. It's called a shofar hagozel, a lulav hagozel. Lulav hagozel, the ganav has a kinyan zeilav. And there are special halachas because of the fact that the ganav didn't get aver, and he acquired a kinyan zeilon. So in Kol HaTorah Kulo we have the din of Ein Kateg and Asa Sanegar that we call Mitzvah Habor Ba'Avera. The Babli calls it Mitzvah Habor Ba'Avera by Lulav HaGozel, and Yerushalmi calls it Ein Kateg and Asa Sanegar. The Ramban there in Sukkah quotes Yerushalmi, and it means the same thing. A Hefta Shal Avera cannot serve as a Hefta Shal Mitzvah. But that's only if this particular object was labeled as a Hefta Shal Avera. The Gemara says when it comes to going Lefnai V'Lefnim, when it comes to entering into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there the mitzvah is more sensitive, so we label it as a kategor, as a davash al avere, even if it's not the actual thing, if it belongs to the same class. So the Gemara says we don't permit the kengadol to wear big day zohar when it goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim because of the egel hazohar. What has it got to do with egel hazohar? What, the gold on the tzitz and the gold on the big day zohar are the gold from egel hazohar? No, it says in the Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu took the egel hazav and he ground it up to tiny little particles and he threw it in the Nachal HaYoyed Menahar and it disappeared. They didn't make the big day zav of the kangolo from that zav from the egel hazav. The answer is, and over here also the Gemara says, the shofar shel parah, the shofar from a cow. What does this cow got to do with the egel hazav? The egel hazav was a statue. This is a real flesh and blood cow that was born from a zoch and a keva cow. It has nothing to do with the egel hazav. The Gemara says no, but it belongs to the same family. So all the gold in the world is labeled as a davish al avera, and all cows and calves are labeled as a davish al avera with respect to a mitzvah that's being done lefnai v'lefnim. So what mitzvah is done lefnai v'lefnim? So one is the kengadol entering into the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur. We don't permit him to wear big day zav. And one is tkiya shofar. Either we're blowing shofar in America. Yeah. What has it got to do lefnai v'lefnim? So the Gemara says no. Kevin the zikaron kasi. Kelifnim domi. That's what the Gemara says. Since the purpose of Tkiya Shofar is Lahalas Zichranim Shal Yisrael Lefnei Avim Shabashmaim, it's a form of Tfilah, the Mispalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're always Mispalat Lifnei Hashem. So when you daven, when you blow Shofar, it's considered as if you're in the Kodesh HaKadosh. It's a halacha, the Gemara says. That's why we're more sensitive. The halacha of Ein Kateg and Asa Neger applies in a more chumradika fashion, because the mitzvah is more sensitive over here because it's being non Lefnei V'Lefnim. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik said, you see from the Gemara that on Rosh Hashanah there is a chiyuv to be lifnei Hashem. Where? You have to blow shofar, and shofar represents lifnei v'lifnim. That's how the Gemara says. It's considered as if you're mamish lifnei Hashem. So you thought that the chiyuv simcha on Rosh Hashanah stems from the chiyuv to be lifnei Hashem. It's not that on Yomim Tovim there's a chiyuv simcha, no. The Gemara says the Kangodol all year long has the same din kisor baregel dami that is makrevin, and why? Because the Kangodol all year long has an obligation to be lifnei Hashem. You see, the divorce is that Beregel is a chiv to be lifnei Hashem, and Kangodol has a chiv to be lifnei Hashem. So to be lifnei Hashem on Shalosh Regalim is to be Ola Regal, to visit the Beis Hamikdash. Where's the chiv Roshani Yom Kippur? There's no Ali Ola Regal. It's not from the Shalosh Regalim to visit. So he said, on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, Kevin, this is a Koran Kossi, Kilifnim Domi. Since there's an obligation to blow shofar, it's considered as if you have to be mamish in the presence of Hashem. And on Yom Kippur he thought, the Pasuk says in Navi, that when people do Averis, it serves like a mechitza shel barzol. The Rambam has in the Shemana Prokem such a description. When a person does an Averis, it's if there were an iron curtain separating between him and the Shechina, and on Yom Kippur there's a mechilas avinus, there's an obligation with Nei Hashem to Toru, there's an obligation to purify ourselves and to use the kapara that's being offered on Yom Kippur. So we have an obligation to remove that mechitza shel barzel and to return again to be lifnei Hashem. They thought that that's why on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur there's also a chiyuv simcha, the way we pass in Lalacha that it's doich avelus. There's also a chiyuv simcha because it's also a chiyuv to be lifnei Hashem. It's not so much, he thought, it's not so much a shaila whether the pasuk the samachta behagecha and hukshu kol amoyad is kulam adadi is only with respect to Shalosh Regalim or even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He showed from the Kangorov that it's not a vort of regel. It's not really a vort of yontif. It's a vort of lefnei Hashem. Otherwise, what did the Gemara say? Kangorov all year long has a chiyuv simcha. It's doich avelus. The Gemara said the Kangorov never observes avelus. Because all year long is like yontif. Because it's a chiyuv simcha. So that's what he thought. And that Rambam quoted this Gemara, that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we don't say halal, not that there's no chiyuv simcha, not yimei simcha yisera. Sounds like adrabba, there is a chiyuv simcha, but there's no maisei hamitzvah, just simcha shebalei. There is a chiyuv simcha, but it's only simcha shebelo.
I don't we say Shabbos, we say yismacha b'malchus.
That's a kasha that the achrayim asked. The Steichemet quotes, always quotes a lot. The Steichemet quotes quite a few achrayim who work on that kasha. If Shabbos there's no chiyuv simcha, why do you say yismacha b'malchus Hashem is Shabbos? There is no chiyuv simcha. So there are various terutzim
in Shabbos. It says yismacha b'malchus. It's nothing to do with Shabbos. It's not
Yisrael
for
Shabbos.
Shabbos. No, Shabbos. The Rav Soloveitchik, he liked the following teretz. He liked one of the terutzim that he quotes. The Netziv gives a teretz. Few achrayim give teretz. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of the following teretz, but he was brought up in a Lubavitcher village in Chaslavich as a little child. So he says, it's a pele to him, how come the Balatanya's Nusach HaTfila doesn't stim with his teretz? And by the Hasidim in Nusach Svar, Nusach Ari, so they say Yismuchum Malchuscha by Shachris and by Musaf. So he said in Nusach Ashkenaz we only say by Musaf is Nicha. He said on Shabbos there is a Chiyuv Simcha Migdosh in conjunction with Hakrovas HaMusaf, because Shabbos you have to be in Beis HaMigdosh for the purpose of Hakrovas HaMusaf. You don't have to be in Beis HaMigdosh the rest of Shabbos, but you have to be there. There's a special chiyuv to go to the Beis HaMikdash to bring the Karbonos HaMusafim. So when you daven Musaf, we consider it as if we're in the Beis HaMikdash bringing the Karbon Musaf. So in conjunction with the Hakrovas Karbon Musaf, there is a chiyuv simcha. This how did he come to such an einfal? How did he get such an idea? Because the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, when he says that the Hallel may be the Araisa, whether it's the Araisa, the Rabbanon, the whole word of Hallel is, it's an expression of Simcha, the Simcha Saguf, by eating and drinking, Simcha Sanefesh, by reciting Hallel. So the Ramban says, what's the story on Rosh Chodesh? Is there a chiyuv to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? And the Gemara says, Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. It's not Medina. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. So the Ramban writes, Hallel on Rosh Chodesh begvulin, chutz la migdosh, is only a minhag. He sounds like he's saying Beferish, and he interprets the Gemara like that. The Gemara in Erechin, the Gemara says in Erechin, how come you don't say Gantz Halala on Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is a Moyed. Rosh Chodesh Dikri Moyed Leimo. Why don't you say Halal? There is a Chiyuv Simcha. That's what the Goyim say. There is a Chiyuv Simcha. The Tur quotes the Goyim in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. There is a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Chodesh because the Pasuk says, Ol Yom Simchaschem Avamayadechem Rosh Chodesh Miskaitem Achatzotzis. It puts together. Yom Simchaschem Avamayadechem Rosh Chodeshem. Sounds like on Rosh Chodesh is also a Chiyuv Simcha. So that's what the Gemara asks. No, on Rosh Chodesh is a Chiyuv Simcha, so how come you don't say Hallel? So to this, the Gemara answers, Lo Igdish Ba'asiyas Malach. You're allowed to do Malach. What does that mean? So the Ramban says, what it means is, in Nigdash, Yom Simchas Ma'adech, Rosh Chodesh, Miskaitem, Achatzis, Alol Asechem, Aziv Chesham, Echem, in Nigdash, in conjunction with Hakrovus HaMusafim, there is a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. Because you have to be lifnei Hashem, but big woman, it's lo yigdish vasiyas malacha. Chutz la migdash Rosh Chodesh is irrelevant. The whole relevance is mizok yalav yav. But there's no mitzvah min haTorah that you have to do. So since Rosh Chodesh big woman is irrelevant, so that's why you don't say halal big woman. But Rosh Chodesh in migdash, he would say halal shalom, not chatzi halal, medina. He would say halal shalom medina. That's what it sounds like in the Ramban. So after he saw that Ramban, that the Ramban has an einfall, that Rosh Chodesh, that's what it sounds like Beferish in the Ramban, Rosh Chodesh in the Migdash, they said Halal Shalom. And the Gvulin, Lo Miatu Rosh Chodesh Ela Begvulin, Chutz La Migdash, you don't say Halal. So that's what led him to absorb this day that the Achrayim suggests, that in Migdash, on Shabbos, in conjunction with the Hakrovas HaMasofim, there's a chiyuv simcha. That Yismuchu Malchus Hashem Shabbos, you say a musaf. But in Shachris, you don't say, because the rest of outside of the Beis HaMikdash, not in conjunction with the musafim, there is no chiyuv simcha.
So what's the
but his tella was on the Balatanya. How can Nusach Svardab that didn't bother him? How could the Balatanya have allowed Yismuchu Malchus to be recited by Shachris? That was his tella. He liked his pshat so much, he thought it was a tell on the Balatanya.
All Yerushalayim has a din from Migdash, according to the Rambam. So therefore you should say Rosh Chodesh Hallel, Gantz Hallel on Yerushalayim also. No?
No, not necessarily. Maybe in conjunction with the Hakrovas HaMusafim. Maybe only in the Azara where you can bring
Yerushalayim. Because the Lulav in Yerushalayim is more...
The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah writes that the Chiyuv, the Arise is all 7 days.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But not necessarily with respect to the simcha. Yeah. And Rosh Hashanah, there is an obligation, we said, to recite Malchus Rosh Hashanah, the three brachas. According to Balamor, you say Ma'ariv Shachris Musaf and Mincha. In our practices, we only say the Malchus Rosh Hashanah in that tefillah, in conjunction with which we plan to blow the shofar. It used to be a shachris, and then they shifted it to musaf. That's what we assume. What is the story with the Malchus Rosh Hashanah? There's an interesting machlokes hatanoim on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Rav Soloveitchik was very fond of saying over this machlokes hatanoim. Every amida, what we call a Shmon Esrei, every tefillah Shmon Esrei, starts off with the same three brachas till the end of Hakel HaKadosh, Hamel HaKadosh, and Aseres Mitzvah, and concludes with the same three brachas. You start with Ritzei, you say Avoida Hoidoya and Birchas Kohanim and Shalom. The Gimel Rishonis and the Gimel Acharonis always remain the same. Then in the middle of the week we say the brachas Amtzoyas, the 12. Now we have 13 brachas Amtzoyas, so you have 13 plus the 6 is a 19 brachas in the Shmoneh Esrei. And Shabbos and Yontov Shteit Novi Mimtzach Avetzach V'Dabe Dover. So the Gemara, the Yerushalmi says we don't allow any bakashas tzarachim. So we leave out all the 13 brachas and tzoyas. We don't say them. So on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you only have zayin brachas. You have 7 brachas. The Gimel Rishon is Gimel Acharonis, and the middle bracha is the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we derive from Psukim. Either it's a real drasha d'mura d'oraisa according to Rashi, or it's an asmachta according to the Ramban, that you have to say 3 more brachas. Malchus Chayin Shofas. So if you add up 3 and 3 and 1 and 3, it should add up to 10. You have to say Gimel Rishonis and Gimel Achrenis and Kedushas Hayoyim, and Malchus Chayin Shofas should add up to 10 brachas. So all the Tanaim assume that there are only 9 brachas, that you have to combine 2 of the brachas together. So Mazeh, what? And they have a whole, a 3-way Machlekes HaTanaim, which 2 brachas do you combine together? So Rabbi Yechem and Nuri holds that you combine together Malchias in the third brachas, after Kodesh, Shimcha Kodesh, Kodesh Shimcha Yom Yahalucha Selah, and then you have 2 pages of Malchias, and then you say Hamalach HaKodesh at the end. And then the fourth bracha is a short Dusha Sayyim. After Bachatar Mikal, Matitlan, Yom HaZikaron Hazeh, you say Yalav Yavav, Yom HaZikaron Hazeh, and Fartik, that's the fourth bracha. And the fifth bracha and the sixth bracha will be the Zecharnis and the Shah. You don't have 3 together. You have Malchias together with Kedushas Hayom and the third bracha, Kedushas Hashem, and the third bracha. Then the fourth bracha is only Kedushas Hayom, Atav HaTano. And then you have the fifth and the sixth will be Zecharnis and Shofas. Very awkward. Seems to us we're not used to that. Rabbi Kiva says the way we do, that the first Gimel Rishonis you don't chepi, you leave them alone, and the middle 3 brachas are going to be Malchus Chayin Shofas. Where are you going to put Kedushas Hayom? So you combine Kedushas Hayom together with, you blend it in together with Malchias, because every Yom Tov has a theme, and one of the major themes of Rosh Hashanah is Malchias. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but he did ain melech b'loyom. He didn't become a melech until he created Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon was created. Zayam Tchilas Maaseh Zikar Lachaim L'Yom Rishon. That was on the 6th day of creation, when Adam and Rishon was created. Before that, human beings said, "There's no melech." Hey, melech b'loyom. So when we say b'tishrei nivra ha'olam, it doesn't mean the beginning of sheshes mei bereishis. The beginning of sheshes mei bereishis, for the last 5 days in Chodesh Elul. And echad b'tishrei was the 6th day of sheshes mei bereishis, the creation of Adam and Rishon. So that's when the Rabban Shalom became a melech, and every year he wants us to mamlechim again. So that's why Imra Lefani Malchias. So Malchias is one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah. Every Yom Tov has Pesach is Man Chereseinu, and Shavuos is Man Matan Tereseinu. That's the theme of the Yom Tov. So the theme, one of the major themes of the Yom Tov for Rosh Hashanah is Malchias. So we combine together the Kedushas Hayayim with the Bracha of Malchias. And the next Tana, Rabbi Gamliel disagrees with both Rabbi Yechem and Nuri and with Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says in the Brisa and the Gemara, no. You say Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Acharonis, and the 3 brachas in the middle are Malchus Chayin Shofas, like Rabbi Akiva said, and then you combine Kedushas Hayom, Ata B'Chatan Ha'Titlonos Yom Mazikaron Hazeh. That goes in the middle bracha, in Zecharonis. What's happens in the middle bracha? So he says that's the way it always is. And every Shabbos and Yom Tov, the center, the middle bracha, there are only 7 brachas. The middle bracha of the Shmoneh Esrei is the Kedushas Hayom. So too on Rosh Hashanah, when you have nine brachas, the middle bracha, right, you have four before and four after, and the center of everything should be, it is Zichronus, so you should combine Kedushas Hayoyim together with the Zichronus, even though it's also one of the themes of the day. Zichronus is the Yisrael of Schar V'Yonish, that the Rabbanu Shalom judges the whole world. That's not Rosh Hashanah, is the Yom Adin. The Rabbanu Shalom is judging the whole world. Okay, so you combine those two things. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik discussed. Why are they all kvetching to combine two brachas together?
Why not make ten?
Make ten brachas. What's the problem?
A pusuk.
Oh, he said that's the Gemara. Right, that's brachas. The Gemara in brachas. But the Gemara says that when Anshik Nesas Agdala, we're instituting all the tefillas and all the brachas. That to have a Bohem, common Nevi'im. That to have amongst the group of the 120 Talmid HaChacham, that to have a few Nevi'im. And with that, they had to search through the Tanakh to find a precedent in Kisvei HaKodesh. That Baruch HaKodesh, there's such a tefillah that has 9 units or 10 units or whatever. They never found any precedent for a tefillah with 10 parts. They only found a tefillah with 9 parts. So that's why
had to combine.
That's why they felt compelled to combine together. So that was the whole machlokes hatanaim. How exactly should you combine? Which two brachas do you blend in together to make out of the 10 brachas 9 brachas?
That's what everyone said. Abraham came on the Vim, so they knew how to zero in on a specific pasuk. That's what you once said.
Which pasuk is Meraz? So the Mishnah has an interesting lashon. Rav Soloveitchik was very fond of this biur. Mishnah has an interesting argument that Rabbi Akiva presents to Rabbi Yechem Anuri. Rabbi Yechem Anuri says that you recite Malchias in the third bracha, Atok Kadosh, Shemcho Kadosh, Kadosh Shemcho Yom Yehaluch Hasel, and then you have 2 pages in the Machzer full of Malchias, with all the 10 psukim, with the Malchias and everything. And then he says, and you don't blow shofar. At the end of Malchias, you don't blow shofar. Then the fourth bracha is, Atav HaChatanim Kol Matitlanos Yom HaZikoron HaZeh, Yalo V'Yavo V'Yom HaZikoron HaZeh, and you end off, the Kaddish Yisrael V'Yom HaZikoron, Kaddish Yisrael V'Yom HaZikoron, and then you blow shofar at the end of Kedushas Hayom. And you blow shofar at the end of Zichronus and Shofar. So Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Yechman Nuri. He says, no. At the Kodesh, Yishmach HaKodesh, a short bracha. You don't add anything. You don't insert any Malchias there. And then you combine together Malchias with the Kedushas Hayom. So Rabbi Akiva says, I don't understand, according to you, Rabbi Yechon Ben Uri, that you hold that you don't blow shofar after Malchias, which is combined with Kedushas Hayom. So if he's not blowing shofar, why does he bother to say the 10 psukim of Malchias Bichlal? What do you mean, why does he bother? Rahman Omar Tiku. The Torah said you have to. Rahman Omar Itker. The Torah said you have to mention Malchias. Rashi takes. Here, that's the second line in the Gemara, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Rahman Omar Itker. What kind of an argument is that? Why does he bother to say Malchias? The Torah told us to say Malchias. So Rashi takes it literally. Rahman Omar Itker. The Torah says we should say Malchias. Ramban says it's an Asmachta. The Torah didn't say it's only Midirabbanon, but the Halacha says you have to say Malchias. So the Gemara asks, what did Rabbi Akiva argue with Rabbi Yechon Ben Uri? And he says that if you hold you don't blow shofar, why taka doesn't he blow shofar after Malchias? Everybody knows he blows shofar after Malchias, kind of shofars. How come he doesn't blow? That's a good question. We're going to have to figure it out. But Rabbi Akiva asked, if you already admit that you don't blow shofar after Malchias, why does he bother saying the whole Malchias throw it off? He's not going to blow shofar. Moshe says, what do you mean, what does he bother? The halacha requires to say Malchias. Moshe says, no. Why does he say 10 psukim should be enough with 9 psukim? Well, the ishtani, since it's different from Zichronus and Shofar, that you're not blowing Shofar after Malchios, so it should be different. You should not have to say a 10th pasuk. Like a Medrash Kliya, what's the connection between the two? So Rav Soloveitchik was very fond of his interpretation. He learned pshat like this. He said, what is the 10 psukim all about? What are you saying the psukim for Malchus Chanashev? So he said, if you look carefully into the Machzer, the framework of the 3 brachas Malchus Chanashev is the same. In each one, we give you the Yisayda Namuna that we believe in. We say we believe in Malchus. The Rabbi Yosef Falbo writes in the Sefer Ho'ikarim that the Rambam writes that there are Yud Gimel Ikari Hu Amuna, 13 principles of faith. And he said basically there are 3. We believe in the existence of God, and one God, an all-powerful God, and he knows everything. That's Metzius Hashem. And number two, we believe in Torah Min HaShamayim. We believe that there can be communication between God and man. And there was communication, and there was Moshe Rabbeinu, a higher level. That's all one emunah, Torah Min HaShamayim, that God communicates with man. And we can communicate with God also. We can daven, and God is going to listen. There can be, and there is, communication between us. And then number three, we believe in Schar V'Yonesh, that God is watching what happens, and He cares, and He punishes the wicked, and He rewards the righteous people. So basically, those are the three brachas on Malchus HaNeshevus, corresponds to the three Kori HaMunah. Malchus is the existence of God, and God being all-powerful, and only one God, Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is one of the ten Malchus. And then Zechroinus is Schar V'Yonesh, that God knows everything that happened in the past, and is going to reward the tzaddikim and punish the Rishayim. And Shofarist always represents Gilui Shechina. On the occasion of Mamad Hasina, there was a Tkiah Shofar, and Lossi Lovet is going to be a Shofar blowing Kab Shofar God L'Cheri Seidim, because it's going to be a great Gilui Shechina. And that represents the concept of Torah Min HaShemayim, that there is communication between God and man, between God and the Nevi'im. We daven to God, and God speaks about Shofar. These are the three Kori HaMunah. So the outline of each one of the three brachas of the Shemana Esed, the Malchus and the Shofarist, runs as follows. The first section of all three is a statement of faith. We believe in Malchus, and we believe in Zechronis, and we believe in Shofarist. The second, the middle section, is how do you know that that's an Iker and Amunah, there's up that it's so? You figured it out. So the answer is, we only know how the Rabbanu Shlom runs his world based on Psukim and Tanakh. He revealed himself how he runs the world by Tanakh. So we have to quote from Psukim. Like it says in the Yitl Mecha, Dovaz HaKas Batar V'Shanim Avim V'Shulash Baksuvim. So you might, if you only, so one Tana says it's enough if you quote Malchus and Shavus, three psukim, one from Chumash, one from Nevi'im, one from Ksuvim. So lecha tchila, we did the Yevit, if you only said three is good. Lecha tchila, we machmi should say three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Nevi'im, three psukim from Ksuvim, because you may be quoting a pasuk out of context, they may misinterpret a pasuk. So if you're reading three psukim from the Chumash, and three psukim from the Nevi'im, and three psukim from the Ksuvim, so those nine psukim, that's conclusive proof from the text of the ninth psukim that the Iker and Amuna was correct. And then the third, we don't know why you need a tenth person. And then the third, and the third section of the Malchus and Shofarist is a tefillah. We pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you have to have bakashas to Rachim. The Rambam says that there's a chiyuv to daven once a day, every day. And the chiyuv to daven has to be min haTorah. The Rambam says, a mitzvah min haTorah to daven at least once a day, every day. Three times a day is only with the Rabbanim. The specific Nusach HaTfilah is only with the Rabbanim. But you should daven once a day, every day, and the outline of the davening should be Shevach, Bakashas Terachim, and Hoidoyah. And if you don't say in that outline, you're not yet to the mitzvah derais. So you have to have Bakashas Terachim every day of the year. So Rav Moshe Feinstein poses a kasha in the Igros Moshe. So what do you do on Shabbos and Yom Tov when you leave out all the brachas and tzoyah? So he says, no, we don't have bakashas terachim, a physical need. We say, v'tei b'mruchaseinu, karsheinu b'mitzvisecho, sechakeinu b'sarasecho, tar l'beinu li'obdecho b'emes, we ask for ruchni as dikit tzorach. So in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, the third part of Malchus and Shofarist is bakashas terachim. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malchus, v'keinu l'seinu b'lochu kol l'holim kulu b'chvedech, v'nasek kol oriz b'karecho. Demonstrate that you're the Melech. He's hiding. Demonstrate that you're the Melech. Show that you're the Balabos, that the people shouldn't attack the Jewish nation. Show that you're the Melech. Calls man that there's so much riches in the world. It looks as if it looks as if Chalila, there is no Malchus Hashem. So demonstrate. And Zechreinus also, Rabban Shalom, remember us in the Taiva. You're judging the whole world today. So give us a Ksidu Rachasima Taiva. And then in Shofarist, we say, Kam Shofar God L'Chavisenu. The third part of each one of the Malchus and Shofarist brachas is the Bakashas Tzorach. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill the promises. And that's the idea behind the 10th Pasuk. We incorporate the 10th Pasuk by Zechronis and Shofarist as opposed to Malchus. We have the 10th Pasuk in the concluding paragraph. We don't have all the 10 Pesukim together. Why is that? But the Rabbi explained, because you really only need 9 Pesukim to prove your point. You should really only need 3 psukim. Dovah zakas batara, shan ba'avim, shodesh baksum. 3 psukim should be enough. But just in case you're misreading a pasuk, so you have 3, 3, and 3, so you have 9. What's the need for the 10th pasuk? So the 10th pasuk is to give strength to the bakasha. Rabbanu Shalom, you promised us that you're going to show Malchus. You promised us that you're going to remember us l'tovah. You promised us that you're going to be goyal us. You're going to demonstrate. You're going to make a gilah shechina l'asi lovah. So we mentioned the pasuk and say, keep your promise. So that's why the pasuk really enhances the bakasha tiyah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik explained, that kia shofar, at the end of each of the three brachas, malchus and shofar, the Ramban explains in the Melchamas on the bottom of the rif, is also to enhance the bakasha, to enhance the tefillah. He says on a tainas tzibur, the din is when the Chazan repeats the Shemoneh Esrei and the Tanis Tzibur, he adds on an additional six brachas. In addition to the 18, he adds six more, makes it into 24 brachas of the Chazaras HaShav. So the Mishnah says in Tainis, at the conclusion of the six additional brachas, they blow Chatzetzris. What's the significance of blowing Chatzetzris? To elevate the level of Tfilah to Zo'oka, a more serious Tfilah, a Tfilah B'yeshzor. So the Tkiya Shofar, in conjunction with the Malchus Reina Shofar, is there's a mitzvah Rashana to blow shofar, a separate mitzvah, you yotze before you begin musaf. Then there's another inyan, Ramban says that tkiya shofar, al seda habrachas, in conjunction with the malchus v'ein shofar, is to enhance the bakosha at the end. That it shouldn't just be a tefillah, it should be a tefillah that's a higher level. Moshe l'mad David Daimed, the Gemara says in Hazohov, in Bob Metzi and Perek Hazov, the Yom Shechar Beis HaMikdash ninalu shari tefillah. The pasuk says in Echa Gam Kiezak HaShaveya, saw some tefillos. Ibn Shalom doesn't accept. Al b'shari afopi sheninu l'shari tefillo, shari demois lo ninalu. If you have a tefillo sheyesh imoim demois, if the person cries because it's so serious and he's so into the tefillo, so that's a higher level of his tefillo. So that will be accepted even after the churban beis hamikdash. So what then is it? Kia shofar. The Gemara says yom tru yalachem umetargiminon yom yabavo. Crying. That's what trua. Trua means crying. That's what the Pirush HaMilah says. The Gemara quotes the Targum Onkelos and the Targum Minon. Yom Yabova, that's the Gemara Lamed Gimel and Beis. And Yabova means to cry, as it says by Eim Sisra, Teyabev Eim Sisra. So the purpose of crying is to elevate the level of the tefillah, should be tefillah with demois. So that idea of the Tkiya Shofar is to enhance the Bakosh at the end. So Becha Manuri holds, you have 10 brachas, you got to kvetch into 9 brachas. So how does he kvetch? He holds that you combine together Malchiyos with Kedushas Hashem in the middle of the Kodesh. You say, according to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, are you going to say the third part of Malchiyos? Okay, we're going to say the Melacha Kol Ha'olam Kula B'Chvadecha. You're going to have a Bakosha in the Gimel Rishonis? No, the Gemara says you don't have any Bakoshas in the Gimel Rishonis. So Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says the Malchiyos, you only have the statement of Emuna. The Malchiyos that he says in the middle of the Kodesh and Shimcha Kodesh only has the first two parts. You state the Ikaret Emunah and you state the 9 Psukim, but you're not going to have the last part. And that's why you don't blow Shofar at the end. You're not, there's nothing, there was no Bakosha to elevate the level of the Tfilah, that it should be Tfilah with the Mois. So that's where Rabbi Kiva Tain is. If you hold the main Taikim, if you hold that you don't blow Shofar, why? Because you hold you can't say Bakoshas in the Gimel Rishonis. So Lomahu Maskir the Pasuk, the 10th Pasuk, the 9 Psukim prove the point. You already proved the point. You have Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, three, so Chutam Shulash from Torah, Chutam Shulash from Nevi'im, Chutam Shulash from Ksuvim. 9 Psukim point proves the point. The 10th Pasuk is supposed to enhance the Bakosh at the end. So if you tell me that there's no Tkiyas after Malchiyas to enhance the Bakosh, because there is no Bakosh, you can't say a Bakosh, so what do you need a 10th Pasuk for? That's how the Rav interpreted the argument. It's a Kimin Chaymer. So we don't do like that. So we say Malchiyas as the fourth prophet. Yeah. So that's why we say the Bakosha and we blow the shofar at the end. Aktiva Vachsima Teva, Agud Geben Shkiyar, Lano Lechol Yisrael. Amen. Agud Geben Shkiyar.